Joining us on the line, Rabbi Kesef, and we are specifically not going to be talking about the shul issue. It is not within his purview, and I don't want to put him in an uncomfortable position. Rabbi Kesef is the director of the South African Jewish Board of Jewish the Board of Jewish Education, and I wanted to discuss with him the opening of the King David Schools. Rabbi Kesef, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Very good. And good to be on the show. And hello to your listeners.
So I specifically and deliberately am not going to discuss with you the issue of the shuls. I have no doubt you have a view, but I don't want to put you in that position, certainly until we have heard from the chief rabbi's office, having once they've taken a decision around that. Your area, of course, is the King David Schools. I happened to join your webinar yesterday. I found it to be really, really incredible. I have to say, I left when they were talking about puff jackets. I don't even know what a puff jacket is. And considering I don't have kids at King David, I don't need to know whether my child can wear one or not. But I found it to be incredible, because the level of detail that your schools have gone into, that you guys have gone into, really just shows, I think, a tremendous amount of care, hand-holding, thought. It must be a terribly difficult process.
Well, Howard, as I said in the webinar, we've been preparing for the actual physical return since the 11th of May. The requirements are so strict. The hygiene requirements, the keeping distance, making sure everything is cleaned, making sure that procedures are in place. And that has been a mammoth task. And it's a requirement of all schools. No different, by the way, from the Gazette 479 for places of work. And that's the level schools have had to keep to as well. And if anything, we've been so much more careful, because we know we've got so many people who would be coming onto our grounds for so many hours a day.
The one thing that really stood out for me was one of your heads of department, and I can't recall who it was, mentioned that she had tried to wear a mask for a while, for 2 hours or so. And I thought that was actually such a good idea, because very few of us actually have worn masks for this amount of time. And she said she actually became very anxious. So there's this recognition that it's going to be very, very difficult for the kids to be able to wear masks for the entire day. I don't know that I would manage.
Right. So, and that's why it's interesting, the Department of Education has allowed thus far in the operating procedures they've given schools for, schools have to supply two masks, or now they've made it two masks stroke visor face shield. And there's certain times when masks will have to be worn, and there's times where a face shield or a visor could be worn. And that's dependent on the context in which a child or a teacher finds themselves. So if they are keeping a 2 meter distance, they'd be allowed to wear a face shield or a visor. But distances that are less than that 1 to 1.5 meters, they'd be wearing the mask. And so that would depend. So in between lessons, or if our distances are great enough, visors could be worn as well. As long as our orientation and education process will, which we will do, is teaching people how to put their masks on and take them off. We'll maybe show the video from the president, maybe.
Yeah, how not to do it. Yeah, but and of course, the day before you having the webinar, Australian schools, Monday, Australian schools open. By Tuesday, Moriah College having a closing down because of a case. It's bound to happen. It is almost an impossibility to imagine that within a short period or a medium period of a school the size of King David across different campuses, it's hard to imagine that there won't be a positive case. How would you deal with that?
I tend to agree with you that it's, we in some ways feel the community has been largely protected for the last 2 months, but it is bound to happen, and we are guided by the procedures of the NRCD. When we first closed the schools down, that was, I would say, more of an, in many ways, a knee-jerk reaction, because none of us knew how this virus operates, and maybe we don't know too much more.
And we're still learning.
Yes, but what we do know more is that it's not the same as influenza. Mm. And I think that's what's changed for us. In that, before, you would probably remember that Naftali Bennett referred to children as missiles yes. at one point in time because of this influenza understanding that children are the biggest transmitters of influenza. But on, when it comes to COVID, it seems to be from many, many pieces of research.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the statistics in New York and other places where children from 18 years old and lower are first of all, catching it a far less. When they are, it's asymptomatic, and they're also not great transmitters.
Yeah, so they're not the super spreaders we thought. Yeah, that we thought they were. Not yes. at all. The research shows the opposite.
Those missiles that Bennett spoke about. So, so that has changed. But of course, if it does occur, we are guided by the professional healthcarers and NICD in that regard, and there are strict instructions and SOPs from the department as to what we would have to follow. And if it's necessary to close a class or a grade or a school, we would do that because we're not trying to be maverick. We're not trying to just bring children back for the sake of bringing them back and put them at risk. That we wouldn't want to do.
And, of course, we know that the benefits of kids going back to school is crucial. If they don't go back, we're going to potentially have all sorts of other problems that will arise, unintended consequences that will arise from them just being completely isolated and at home. It's very important that we do try and get them back. One of the comments also made on the webinar that I thought was interesting was that some of the teaching staff perhaps either have a comorbidities or are living with somebody who does. They will be the ones, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, who will continue with a lot of the online schooling for kids who can't come back to school for the similar reasons.
That is correct. So we've tried to clarify from our staff. We did a declaration document that all of our staff, including myself, that we all had to sign, notifying the school whether we've got a pre-existing condition or not, and if there was any reason why we felt we couldn't be at school or work in the school environment. And that was important so we could work out who would be back in the school grounds, who would be at home, and they would teach online. It's just because someone's at home doesn't mean they won't teach. In fact, in our older groups, in our matric groups, it was very important for a lot of the students coming back to know they've got their matric teacher. And so some of those teachers will be teaching from home into the classroom, both to the classroom and both to those who are at home, the wonders of technology. And so that would be the case. What you probably heard is even in our student body, I think it worked out in the end. We've got just under 5% of students who've got comorbidities who would not be able to return.
Right.
And about 19% of our parent body who have got comorbidities such that their children would not be able to go back. And that was important to get those details, to know that around about 25 to 30% of our student body or so would not be able to return. And so we would have to continue a hybrid model for the coming months, I would imagine.
Right. Extremely complex. I mean, the logistics of this, I would imagine that, that there's kind of I would imagine that you're going to need parents to be a little bit understanding, if there's a little bit of imperfection, because there's absolutely zero chance that, with all the best intention and the best work in the world that something can't slip between the cracks. It's just not possible.
You're right. And first of all, like a shout out to the parents and to the staff up to this point, because, and I think you made that comment in your recent article, but it's a real shout out, because the move from face-to-face teaching to online had its difficulties in the beginning, and those have settled. And people were saying, well, why not just stay like that for the rest of the year? And you, as you've said, it's the isolation's not the intention. Coming back to school, we're going to have a similar set of problems for the first few days, I would imagine, of just settling in, learning the routine, how things work. We're hugely dependent on technology and that move to technology, even in this, in going back to school. And so it will take patience. And my letter to the parents 2 days ago spoke about all of us needing patience, adaptability, flexibility. These are maybe what will come out of this is just some enhanced EQ and social emotional skills from all this moving and this and adaptability we've had to go through.
Absolutely right, and I think that's so important. Is that there's absolutely no doubt the amount of that the schools are doing, and certainly the King David Schools is doing to get this right, is immense. I saw the document that you put out. I thought it was phenomenal, absolutely unbelievably done, put together very, very professionally, clear, and very calming, because the message, the underlying message is we've really tried to think of everything, we've planned for it, and just work with us. So, Rabbi Kassav, well done to you in an incredibly difficult time and incredibly difficult circumstances, taking care of so many of the kids in the community. All the best, and we certainly will check in with you.